You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show. I am Shirley, clinical hypnotherapist in Southern California, and a glitter and rainbow girl going way back. My specialty is working with the LGBTQIA community, BDSM, kink communities, anyone that doesn't feel like they have a tribe or a person that doesn't understand them. I want you to know that you are not alone and I wouldn't have it any other way. Through these times, I like to, you know, maybe we can have a little fun. You can learn a little thing, get a little inspiration, bring a smile to your heart, you know, giggle. You never know what's going to happen. So before we get going on the full part of the show, anybody in a safe place. Now, the way I always start my show is everybody has to be in a safe place. If you are not in a safe place, then please do not do this. And by safe place, I mean, don't be driving in the car, working on a project, helping your kids out with something. You know, you can always re-listen to the show later on because it is on, you know, my Facebook page, my YouTube page, all of this. So, you know, I won't be upset if you have to listen to it later. But if you are in a safe place, let's go. I want you to take a nice deep breath all the way down into your lungs. Hold it. And slowly exhale with a smile. And while you're in that safe place, want you to, you know, wiggle your toes. Come on. This is part two. This is my favorite part of the whole beginning. So if you know me, this part is great. So wiggle your toes. Come on. Inside your shoes, outside your shoes, I don't care. It's a little warm today where I'm at, so I'm outside my shoes, which is normal. Now I want you to wiggle your butt. Come on, wiggle, wiggle your butt. Come on, squeeze in those cheeks. Because you cannot wiggle your butt or tell someone to wiggle their butt without getting a smile on your face. Because when you're squeezing in those cheeks, it's fabulous. The last thing I want you to do is one more of those great deep breaths. And hold it. And as you exhale, I want you to give yourself a beautiful affirmation. Something like, I got this, which is what I usually say. Or we can make it through. Anything that helps you make it through maybe the next 5 minutes. If you can't make it through, you know, the rest of the day, 5 minutes at a time, that's what we count on. Okay? If you've got a little extra time, you know, roll those shoulders, you know, roll them, roll your neck, maybe your ankles, because that means that in under 4 minutes, you have now relaxed everything from your toes to your nose and on up. And these are just little things that you can do that will make your life so much easier and a little more relaxed. Because that's what this is all about, is being relaxed. You know, that's the whole object of this. And I know for a lot of us, to keep this, you know, this last year and a half have been really hard on our mental health. So, you know, this is an important thing that we'll be discussing actually a lot for the next couple of weeks. If you want to help keep the show going, though, I have a Patreon page with some great perks, some shout outs, some great free swag, or you can always find me on whisperingzen.com, which is actually my website. But we're going to go back to the mental health part, because this year, this actual year and a half, I have seen such a rise in depression, anxiety, claustrophobia, you know, because some people were having problem with the masks. You know, and I'm hoping that you've been coping, that you've been listening and coping. And as a hypnotherapist, I get asked a lot about mindfulness, what it is, does it work? So I thought today and for the next few shows that I would discuss what actual mindfulness is. And, you know, I thought today would be a good day to start on that because, you know, we're in the summer and things are still stressed out and we still have, you know, some people are still wearing masks. Some people aren't. People are a little confused. So I want you to learn ways of using mindfulness to enhance your life in these positive ways. Can't get much better than that. So as far as what is mindfulness, these are small little practices that help you increase your ability to regulate your emotions. They de-stress, they help you decrease your stress, your anxiety, your depression, and it helps you focus your attention so that you can observe your thoughts and intentions a little bit better, you know. And these can be helpful for somebody in any age whatsoever. I have actually taught high school students how to use mindfulness for easier test taking and to help with anxieties both at home and in school. So I know certain people that use mindfulness to help with, you know, help with younger kids, even younger than that, because it seems that younger and younger kids are having to deal with anxieties that they never had to deal with before. And part of that was this last little bit, not being able to go to school and not being able to see their friends. And it was as confusing for them as it was for us. So life can be completely overwhelming. You know, our minds are filled with clutter. Our view of the world has become a little tainted and distorted. And our ability to be present in the moment has been lost. Does that sound familiar to anybody out there? I'm guessing it has. And it should, because life has become frantic and exhausting. And, you know, that's impacting our health and our happiness and our work and even the economy, because sometimes we get so anxious we don't want to go out, so we don't want to spend. So it all goes together. And we need to find ways to deal with this at all times, or, you know, before it gets worse, because if you don't stop it before it gets worse, then it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. So, you know, over these last generations and thousands and millions of years, we learn to handle stress in ways to just survive, you know, just the basics: food, shelter, don't get eaten by something. This is important, just basic survival. But we haven't learned how to deal with our new immediate stresses and our new challenges to survive. The things that have happened in the last few, you know, generations or hundreds of years. You know, things like industry and, you know, technology have just dramatically raised up everything around us. And so it makes us a little bit harder. It makes it a little bit harder for us to handle the situation. So in our minds, you know, we've kind of haven't really fit in those changing lifestyles. And we're left, you know, anxious and stressed and depressed. And it doesn't have to be this way. It really doesn't. We think about it in certain ways, but it really does not have to be like that all the time. And so I'm going to go over some little things that you can do to kind of make you aware of where you're feeling these stressed out things are. You know, a UK, you know, report found that the best way to handle and tackle the problem is to practice the mindfulness, these little exercises, everywhere from education, health, criminal science, especially in the workplace where our stress levels can be overwhelming. So here's what we can start to do about this. To be mindful means to pay attention to what's happening to you in your mind and your body and your immediate environment around you, to remain present in the moment, you know. And what that does is that makes us more curious about what's going on and a little more compassionate about what's going on around us. It improves our response to straightforward, you know, there are meditation practices that, you know, have been developed to increase awareness of your thoughts, your sensations, and your feelings. And with this, you can increase that kindness and compassion. The mindfulness improves our capacity to cope, you know, and we need to learn how to cope with the environment that's surrounded around us. That's the whole idea of mindfulness. It leads to greater well-being and mental clarity and increased ability to care for both yourself and others. This is what the important thing is. This is helping you increase and helping you and take care of more of yourself. It's like, you can't help others if you can't take care of yourself. I tell you that all the time. It's like when you're in a plane, you know, when the oxygen comes down, they say to put your oxygen on first and then everybody else is, and then, you know, worry about the person next to you. Well, that's kind of like mindfulness. That's your oxygen. Learn how to deal with that first, and then we'll work with the rest of it. And it can be as simple as breathing and being aware of where your body's at. You know, observing your thoughts and emotions before they turn around and focus us, you know, into physical sensations. You know, it can be one of those things where you misunderstand something, and it can throw you off. It can throw you off the entire day. You misunderstand it, something happens, you overreact, and there you are. And we can all benefit from our awareness of being less reactive to situations, you know, and not being a little less judgmental, because sometimes, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, being a little more, you know, taking things personally of what's said around you. If you say hi to somebody and they don't respond back, your immediate reaction could be, oh, well, they must be mad at me because they're not talking to me. Well, what you may not know is maybe they just got bad news. Maybe something just happened to them and it has absolutely nothing to do with you. You know, these are important things to think about, because, you know, if you overreact, then that could deem how you react to them from this part forward. So now you're holding a grudge against somebody who didn't even realize that you had said maybe hi to them, or you had reacted to them. So we can all benefit, you know, from that. One of the easiest ways to do this, and I recommend this every single day, and before you even go to work, before you even do anything, I have talked about a couple times doing body scans. And to me, I do them at least 2 or 3 times a day. I recommend at least twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. If you're having a really stressful day at work, do a body scan there. They take very little time, but you kind of start at the top of your head and just kind of work your way down. And you can use it as a ball of light. You can just, you know, just kind of take your mind and just kind of flow through your body and see where, if there's extra stress somewhere or extra anxiety. Is it being held up in a specific place? Are you holding too much stress in your shoulders? Then roll them. Are you holding it in your lower back? Is, you know, does your mind just need to recenter a little bit? If that's what it is, then you're good. You know where it's at. You know what the situation is. So then you can start to fix the problem. But, you know, I start out the morning doing a body scan while I'm laying there drinking my coffee, and, you know, just kind of start at the top and figure out where things might be hurting, maybe where I'm feeling a little stressed from the night before. For me, last night we had fireworks until 2 a.m, so very little sleep. So little things like that. And then I know where it's at, so I know mentally how to fix it. Now, I can overreact and go and hate all of those people that had fireworks last night. Or I can just mentally tell myself that it's important for me to be able to fix this. It's important for me to be able to do what I need to do. So doing that body scan, you know, is one of the most important things that I think that people can do. And they take very little time. I mean, if you need to and you're at work, you can go into the bathroom and, you know, do a quick body scan. And what that does is that also gets you out of your situation. because part of this is getting you out of the situation and the mental spot where you're at right there. Sometimes you just need to get out of that space. Go take a quick walk. Sometimes you just need to go take a drink of water. You need to not be around a person that you're around. Some of those little things, you know, the mental events, you know, just the little mental stuff is what can drag you down. And that's the mindfulness that we're trying to get you back centered. So your brain's not way over here and your brain's not way over here. Your brain is back where it belongs so that you're in the moment. And when you're in the moment, you can actually do things a little bit better and see things a little bit better. In a recent study, another wonderful UK study, researchers identified that undergraduates with higher mindfulness were less stressed, both psychologically and physically. And even children that were taught mindfulness that had witnessed trauma in some other ways, like hurricanes and stuff, were less impacted because they had already been taught how to kind of handle some of the more stressful situations. Now, that's not 100%. It never will be. And every person reacts to things differently. So what I'm telling you is that although I believe in this and although I do this and I teach it, nothing is going to be 100% for people. And, you know, not every child handles situations the way that this study showed. A study is just a study. It's not a guarantee. I just kind of needed to throw it out there. But it appears that mindfulness helps us manage the existing stress and offers us, you know, protection from future upsets. So once you learn how to do this and once you learn how to handle certain situations, it makes other situations much easier to handle. One of the most important things is happiness, you know, is to work with your happiness. Several of those recent studies have affirmed how important mindfulness is in managing our perceived happiness. And happiness is not just something that feels good. It offers protection against diseases and deaths and maintaining a positive mindset, which is crucial to our healthy, you know, for us staying healthy. You know, if you've got that positive mindfulness, then, you know, you feel better. So you're less dreading everything all day. When mindfulness was given to even people that had diabetes, you know, not only did their measurements of happiness increase, but their blood glucose levels were controlled a little bit better. Because when you're stressed, your glucose levels go up. When you're not so stressed and you're a little happier, things go down, you know. And there are a lot of, if you don't have somebody that can teach you or you're not sure how to do it, there are a lot of apps that you can get for your phones that talk about mindfulness or can help you with your breathing. And I do recommend some of those. I'm not going to recommend any here because that's not what I'm going to do. But, you know, check. No matter what type of phone you have, there are going to be mindfulness apps. And check them out before you pay for them, because it just may not click with you. A lot of things may not click with you. So similar improvements with these apps and with these ways of working with your happiness, you know, have seen people with low mood, you know, have seen improvements with people that have anxiety and low moods and they're kind of moody and they're depression. So very, very important to work on your happiness. Now, it can also help with your memory. How good would that be? You know, mindfulness practices have a positive effect on your stress, but they also benefit your sleep. And when you benefit your sleep, you benefit your memory. And who doesn't need that? Mindfulness practices are so powerful that even a 3-minute little session of you maybe doing a body scan or you thinking of happy thoughts or getting outside of, you know, wherever that is that's giving you, you know, the anxiety can improve on your memory. And there's so many cognitive benefits. Mindfulness directly improves our ability to tackle problems. Because you're not as stressed, it's easier to tackle the problems. It reduces mind wandering, which will get you right back into center. It offers potential to increase capacity in the rest of your brain for these processes. See how important these are? Just these little things that you can do, you know? And this was one of the things that I was amazed about, that scientists used to believe that after a certain age, this human brain stopped growing. It was done. It quit changing. Well, they have now determined that this isn't true, that our genetics, while in the early years are defined as kind of define who we are, the rest is kind of malleable. So this doctor who wrote this great book, Discovering Science and the Practice of Mindfulness, said, with every passing day, we are literally training our minds and changing our brains so we can flourish individually and collectively. Isn't that, to me, that's huge. So when people say, no, this is who I am, this is who I'll be, you can flow, you can change. It may not be a huge change, but you can change. And the concept is called neuroplasticity, which has been kind of a keyword for the last few years. And it just means that your brain continually develops through life. So at any age, you can change your brain's physical architecture. So you can learn more. We strengthen our essential pathways and, you know, get rid of stuff that doesn't help us anymore and bring in stuff that does help us, which is what we're trying to do. You know, some easy ways people think about mindfulness. And this is, you know, these are now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Now that you know what mindfulness can help you with, like it can help you, you know, with a better memory and it can help you with better sleep. But how do we do it? That's what's important. So we're going to start talking about what we can do to make it a little easier. So the first thing we're going to do is, you know, eat mindfully. And what that means is when you're eating, eat. When you're drinking, drink. So you need to enjoy what you're doing. Some of us do so many things at the same time that you're not actually enjoying yourself. You're doing six things at the same time. You've eaten in 5 minutes and you haven't really enjoyed anything. You know, you don't need to be multitasking while you're doing that. You know, enjoy what goes into your body. And when you enjoy what goes into your body, it makes life, you know, it makes things a little better. Trust me on this one. I've had to slow down, and a lot of people have had to like slow down and realize that, you know, I want to enjoy this. I don't want to just finish what I'm doing to get it done. Eating should be, and drinking should be, you know, more than just getting it done. You know, enjoy the food that you're doing. The next thing you can do is walk mindfully. Now, I've been telling you for a while to go out and take walks. Go out, take some walks, you know, observe what's going on around you. See the sights. You know, this time of year, there are more trees, more flowers, depending on where you live. I know that for some people, it may not be that way. But try to find a place that, you know, a park. And notice what's around you. Actually be observant. You know, notice that the flowers that are out now, the leaves on the trees. You may notice, you know, little wildlife, little squirrels running up the trees. Be observant. You'd be amazed to find a whole new world that you hadn't noticed before. I guarantee it. Where I live, you know, things are blooming all over the place. I'm actually one of the lucky ones. And some people I know, you know, may not have that. But maybe you live close enough to where there might be a park that you can get out. Be conscious of what's around you. Go take that walk. Because when you take the walk, you know, and you're focusing on something else, you're not focusing on, you know, your mind isn't flying all over the place. You're actually concentrating on what you're doing. This is a really good one. And this one I tell you all the time. Observe your breathing. Your breathing usually just happens. People go, I've been breathing my whole life. It occurs naturally and rhythmically. But when you pay attention to it, it takes you out of your mind and out of your body. It really does. Because now you're concentrating on that. You're concentrating on what your mind and body are doing and how it's reacting. I always love it when I teach a new client. Then I go, okay, the first thing we're going to learn how to do is we're going to learn how to breathe. And they look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, I've been breathing my entire life. You don't need to teach me how to breathe. And then when I teach them how to mindfully and consciously breathe, it's amazing how fast that can take you out of any type of anxiety, any type of, you know, deep stressful situations. I had a friend tell me a couple weeks ago that she had the same reaction, that when, you know, she was told that she was going to learn how to breathe, she looked at her therapist and thought that they were crazy because she already knew how to breathe. Well, she didn't actually know how to breathe. So once you learn how to do that deep, deep rhythmic breathing, that's going to help you become more conscious of things around you. And it can actually make your mind go to great places. You know, it gets you out of the stressful situation. You can sit, even if you need to, like, sit at home and find a comfortable position and just concentrate and think about your breathing. You know, slowly up and down from your abdomen, not up here. Should never breathe from up here in your chest, always down in your abdomen, and do it slow and consciously. Slow and consciously. But I love telling people that I'm going to teach them how to breathe. And every once in a while, I teach classes on breathing on here online. So, you know, every once in a while, check into that website because you never know. I probably am going to have one up that we can do online in a couple weeks. You know, it momentarily frees you from those thoughts, worries, and fears and reminds you of who you are, you know, brings out your inner spirit and not your thoughts, which is a really wonderful thing. Connect with your senses, put love and attention into the simple tasks of your day. Yes, you will be amazed at how much joy and peace that little things can bring to you. You know, your senses, touch, taste, smell, sound, sight are gateways into being in your present moment. You know, when you're baking something, when you're making something, when you're smelling something, you know, connect with those senses. Go, okay, today I want to, you know, connect with smell or sight or, you know, or something may come up that you hadn't realized. You know, you're in one place and you notice a smell, and that smell will take you back to a memory. And that memory is the best thing that could have happened to you. You know, it takes you back to a good memory. A taste can take you back to a memory that's a wonderful memory. Take care of your senses. Keep them in check. Your senses will not let you down. I promise. Okay? The next thing, which is really important to me, is to pause between actions. Now, this one throws people off a little bit. Pause between actions. Just a mini pause between what you're doing and what you're going to do next can ground you and ground your inner being, clear your mind, and provide you with fresh energy towards that new task. So even if you're just leaving work and going out to your car, take a minute between running out there, or even if you're going to, answer the phone. I mean, it's something as easy as that. You know, stop rushing to get to the next thing. We don't need to rush to get to the next thing. What we need to do is slow everything down, because it will make you feel more in control of what's happening around you. If we just keep rushing from thing to thing, then we're not really paying attention to what we're doing. And that's the last thing we want to do. If you think about it, you know, taking that, just that little pause will put you in the proper mindset. If you're sitting in a chair or sitting wherever, and you know, you see your phone ring, before you just pick it up, take a second, look to see who it is. See if you even want to deal with that situation. Because sometimes the most stressful thing can happen at what shouldn't be a stressful time. So take a minute. Don't just pick it up and react. Take a second and go, okay, I know who it is. I know how I need to react. I know what I need to do. This is a good thing. So if you stop rushing around, that would be, you know, that's a very, very important thing. This is a good one. And this has a lot to do with the way people interact with each other. And especially with mindfulness, the way people interact with each other. Listen wholeheartedly. Most of us never really listen to people when they're talking to us. They're so busy trying to figure out what the next thing is that they want to say, or how they want to react to that person, that they're not actually listening. You know, the next time you're in a conversation, make a goal to totally listen to that person. You know, listen to what they have to say without getting lost in your own thoughts of what you're supposed to say next. Don't overthink it. You'll know what to say next. And sometimes people don't want you to say anything. You know, I've had people where I always ask, do you want me to comment, you know, or do you just want me to hear you? Do you want me to listen, or do you want me to be a part of the conversation? And sometimes they just want you to listen. They don't want you to make a comment. So that leaves you wide open to just absorb what they're saying. Don't make comments. Don't interact. This has very little to do with you most of the time. Don't just hear that person. Actually listen to that person. Hear what they have to say. If they want your opinion, they will tell you. Trust me, people will tell you, okay, now what do you think? But let them get everything out. Let them, you know, and then let you absorb what they said. Think about that. If you're trying so hard to come up with a solution to a problem you weren't asked to help out with, you're not really helping, and you're not helping you, and you're not helping, you know, your friend or your family or whoever the person is. So, you know, listen wholeheartedly, listen to what they want, and ask, you know, be honest and ask, you know, what is my job here? Is my job to just listen and help you absorb and help you? Sometimes just a person getting out a situation, getting out how they're feeling, will help them feel 100% better. And that's super important. So, you know, like I said, don't overthink it. Just let it happen. Please just go for it. This is a good one though. Get lost in the flow of doing what you love. Now, we all have certain activities that we love doing. We love doing. They connect with our inner spirit and bring us fully alive. It could be cooking. It could be dancing, singing, gardening, writing, painting, you know, building furniture. It could be anything, anything that makes your heart sing. I have certain things that I just absolutely love to do. And then I have certain things that I don't really love to do. But get lost in the flow of what you're doing. Let it overtake you. When you're doing something that you totally love to do, it will put you in a mental place that just makes your heart sing. we love doing these things so much that we often just lose ourselves. And that's perfect. You want to do that. You want to just lose yourself in the moment. Keep doing it, you know? Lose your smaller self, you know? No thoughts, no worries, no, you know, overreaction, because we're pouring all that we love and all of our attention into this present moment. And I've seen it. And you need to incorporate more of these actions. Don't just do it every once in a while. You know, give yourself a specific time and go, okay, on this particular, you know, I'm going to try on these days to do this. Because, and don't make it a chore. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, because then you're really not going to enjoy yourself. So don't make it a chore, but, you know, pour what you love into these moments, incorporate them. Your happy love, the better it will be. I know that we all have things that we love to do. You know, I've seen people who will read a book and lose themselves in the book. And before you know, they've read the entire book and they've lost a whole day and they didn't even realize it. Some people get lost in a movie. That's fine. Get lost in it. Let it take you away. Let it take you to another place and absorb you. People that paint, you know, get so absorbed in what they're doing that they don't realize how much time has gone by. There's nothing wrong with that. I have written things and just gone and gone and gone and gone and on and not realized that hours have gone by. It's perfect. You know, it's what makes your heart sing. And that's important, to make your heart sing. Meditate daily. You knew I was going to get to this one. So for those of you that are like, there's no getting around it, meditation is a huge benefit to this. You know, it increases your level of energy, happiness, inspiration, inner peace. Even just 10 minutes a day of just meditating and becoming, that always sounds weird to me, becoming one. But that's what I'm talking about. Just make it so things are better. You know, meditate, let it go. For me, meditation is just kind of letting it go. Let go of all the schmutt for the day. You know, how I've been feeling, how I've been acting. You know, if something turned me off. But meditation, even like I said, 10 minutes will help you release everything. And it can be any time of the day. And will have such a positive impact on your life. And it strengthens your mindfulness muscles. Because once you're meditating, then you know how to bring yourself back to center. And it'll be easier for you to become present throughout the day. Because now you've taught yourself how to do that. And part of meditating is bringing yourself back to the center. Bringing yourself away from those things that are causing you the stress and anxiety. And bringing you back to absolute center of where you need to be and where you want to be. So I knew that I was going to hit meditation. You all knew I was going to hit meditation. Some of you, you know, I've heard are just like, I don't get it. I can't do it. It's not that hard. I've had people go, well, what if I fall asleep? Well, what if you fall asleep? That's not the main goal, but maybe that's what your body needed. Maybe that's how your mind resets itself. You know, and you don't have to meditate in the same place. I've meditated, you know, by the beach, under a tree, in my house, wherever you can find a place. And you want it to be quiet and you want it there to be no sound around you, which there's a difference between quiet and no sound. Because sometimes you've got background noise behind you. Some people, it has to be absolutely 100% quiet. That's a little harder. Especially if you have a family, you might want to find a place under a tree, in your car, out by the water, or if you have that option, you know, find that place that does that. So, and you know, when you are traveling back and forth, travel or mix up your routine. You know, there's more than one reason that people feel great when they're on holidays. When you're in a new place, you automatically become more present and mindful because there are so many new sights and sounds. Yeah, you get to go on a little vacation. There's so many things out there for you to see and do that, you know, you're obviously going to feel great. You know, your senses take over for a while and it lets your mind just go crazy. But if you don't have any travel plans, that's fine. You know, take, you know, just be aware. And if, you know, you need to, take a different route, even if it's to work, even if it's to the grocery store, take a different route. And what that'll do is you know, go through a different neighborhood. Totally go through a different neighborhood to get to where you're going. Don't get in a routine, because when you get in a routine, it's just not as much fun. And your mind starts wandering. And the worst part of that is you can go into what we call vehicular hypnosis. And that is when you get from one place to the other and you don't actually remember how you got there. A lot of people, this happens when they're on the freeway or when they're coming home, that what'll happen is they'll get in their car on the way home and they'll get home and they have no memory whatsoever how they got there. This is not good. You need to stay conscious and you need to stay aware of, this is when you really need to stay aware of the cars around you, the traffic around you. So if you're taking a different route home, what that'll do is that'll make you more aware, because this is a different route. So different trees, different cars, different streets, different, you know, stoplights, different stop signs, speed bumps, you know, every once in a while, you know, go a different way, make a right instead of a left. You still know how to get to where you're going. I know you do. But, you know, and go on maps and put in the address and put in things like no freeways or no, you know, no whatever. If you live in a place that has bridges and you think you can get to someplace without bridges, put in no bridges. You can put in specifications so that it's going to put you on a different route. And although you've been to wherever 100 times, you don't have to worry about it as much because it's going to take you on a different route. And sometimes you find the most amazing things when you take the journey. You know, even if you get lost, there's nothing wrong with getting lost on your journey to somewhere unless you're late for work. But for the most part, there is no reason not to, you know, take another route. This one's super important, and it's one thing that I'm probably going to stop on for today, and, you know, next week I'm going to go over more different ways of doing mindfulness. And this is to observe your thoughts and emotions. You are not your thoughts. You are the observer of your thoughts. I know that's really super deep. But the fact that you can listen to them shows that they are not you. So you are something higher and separate. By simply becoming aware of your thoughts, they're like clouds passing in the sky. You're just observing them in the present. And you're not getting caught up in your thoughts and forgetting that you need to be you. You know, observe, be aware. You know, when you're sitting there and you're sitting in a chair or wherever you're sitting, and you could be sitting in traffic, you could be sitting in an office, sitting at home, be aware of how you feel. Every once in a while, just kind of go, am I doing okay? Am I feeling okay? Because I may not be. I may be overly emotional. I may have gone into a slight depression and I'm not sure why. At that point, you need to figure out the whys. Think about your thoughts. Are you thinking about someone or something specific? Is there a reason? These are the important things, you know, for you to be. But sometimes, you know, that you need to be aware of your thoughts and emotions. But sometimes they're just like crazy little like commercial jingles. Just flies by. You hear it once, it gets stuck in your head. For some reason, it comes up and you think about it for a second and just let it go. A lot of things, we have a hard time just letting go. Sometimes we just have to let things go. We just have to let things become what they are, which is, you know, not needed. A lot of what we have around us are thoughts and emotions and things that we don't really need. They complicate our lives more than they help our lives. So we don't ever want that. Don't get caught up in your thoughts and forgetting that they're not you. They're just thoughts. Emotions are just emotions. They come and they go. Now, if you get stuck in one, that's when you need a little more assistance. So that's important. And sometimes you need to get out of your own way sometimes. So, you know, I always suggest calling a friend. If you haven't heard from them, calling a relative, you know, doing a group thing, even if it's online, you know, to get yourself out, do a watch party online. People are still doing watch parties online, you know, movie watch parties. It's important, you know, for people that have to deal with the public a lot. It's still so important for our first responders and those dealing with, you know, if you get stuck in a funk dealing with bereavement or guilt, you know, those living at home, sometimes still stuck and not feeling like they have, you know, any way out. You don't want to get stuck in these things. You know, you need to be aware of where you're at. And that's when we do the body scan. That's another thing with the body scan, is that you need to be aware of where you are mentally as well as where you are physically, but where you are mentally. Because if you need some assistance, although I always take clients and will never, you know, not take clients online, sometimes people need a little help a little closer. There are places online that can take, you know, that can do many free mental health services. They're pretty easy to find, as long as you have an internet connection. A lot of the, if you're part of the LGBT community, you know, Trevor Project, or, you know, most big cities and some little cities have centers. You know, look online, see if there's, and it works whether you're part of, you know, the LGBT community, it's part of, whether you're part of the straight community, any community, they have places and centers. You know, take note of your mental state at all times. This is so important to me that you do that. You know, that right there, you know, mindfulness doesn't work unless you're here to, you know, take all of this advice. Mindfulness will help you get through some of these things that are causing you to feel down and depressed. You know, take some of my advice. But like I said, all of these, you know, this video and all my other videos that have other great advice, well, to me it's great advice, are always on my web pages, whisperingzen.com, on my Facebook page. You can always contact me with questions, comments, things maybe you want me to talk about more than mindfulness. You know, you can always email me at, you know, hypnofairygodmothershow. So, or hypnofairygodmother@yahoo.com. And these are, you know, you've got this. I trust me, you've got this. I know you do. So thank you for tuning in. Tell your friends about the show. I promise I will see you next week. And remember, we're going to take this one last deep breath, hold it, and exhale with a smile. I will see you next week.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.